You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
They're back together again. Eric and Jeff are reunited as friends. Oh, Movie BS is back together again.
Hello, welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder, the only movie podcast on the internet. I'm your host, Eric D. Snyder. That's my co-host, Jeff Bear.
Hey, everybody. I'm Jeff Bear. I am the host of this little thing called Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. That was my co-host, Eric D. Snyder. Hello.
Hi. Well, we're brought to you by OneOfUs.net. We always start with an iTunes review, but we don't have a new one. So just here's a placeholder letting people know if you write us a review on iTunes, we'll read it on the show.
Our fake sponsor today is Laurelwood Brewing Company, specifically their Workhorse India Pale Ale.
Now, is it made from fresh-squeezed Workhorse?
Yeah, you can taste a little bit. Like in the back of your throat, you can get a little of that Workhorse right
nice.
In there.
Nice. Yeah. You always make beer sound so appealing to me as a non-beer drinker. You know that theme song that opened the show? It's that it's the one about how we're back together again, our little sitcom. Very bouncy and fun. And we rotate through like four different theme songs. We love them, and we thank our listeners who have made these theme songs for us, but they're all too long.
Well, and you know, they'll still exist.
Oh, yeah, no, we're not going to like throw them in the fire.
No.
But we realize
just because we make a new theme song doesn't mean the old theme songs have ruined your childhood or anything to
right.
that.
Right. So we need new theme songs that only have women. No, we need no, we want to get some shorter, more like 20 to 30 seconds, 30 seconds at the most kind of theme songs. So if first of all, if any of the people who've made any of our existing theme songs would care to reproduce them but shorter, by all means, we would love that. Because I really like all the four that we have. I like them all.
I completely agree.
But I think a lot of listeners just probably skip past them because it's like a minute long. And a minute is a long time in podcast years. So if we get some shorter ones, that would be great. If someone else wants to take a new stab at one.
And keep in mind, if you're like, well, I don't play instruments. The internet.
Oh, yeah.
You can do things. And you could do spoken word. You can do a lot of variety of things.
You can be creative. Be creative.
That's all we ask.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Eric.
Ah.
You know who I want to do our theme song?
Who?
Tony, are you listening, Tony?
The drummer for Eve 6.
I'm just saying.
That's true. Oh, man, if Eve 6 could do us a theme tune, that would be great.
Whoa. I just need Tony.
Just Tony? Just on the drums? Just a drum solo?
Just Tony?
Actually, he may be multi-talented. Tony. A lot of drummers are.
He could do his own thing and like call himself Tony. Like if he's doing three different things.
Oh, there's a good idea. There you go.
Because it's, you know, that'd be new.
Yeah.
Feels
or
good.
Or if any other rock stars listen to the show and want to contribute theme songs. So yes, we're officially putting out the call for some new theme songs.
One more person, if you're still listening, Jeff Cook. Come on. It's time.
Who's that?
College friend.
Oh, all right. Any other college friends? Can we just name some college friends we had?
No.
Hey, Phil Staley, if you want to do one for us. Or Dave Allen. Come on, Dave, you play guitar.
For a living? Do they do it for a living?
No. Oh, Mike the Sound Guy does. We should get Mike the... In fact, Mike the Sound Guy is the one who is one of the people who told me your theme song should be shorter. Why didn't I think to say, then why don't you make one for us, Mike? That's what I should
the
have said.
The Sound Guy. Is his last name... Wait, which is it? Is his middle name The Sound? His last name's Guy?
No, his last name is The Sound Guy.
Mike Guy.
It was...
Mike Sound.
It was The Sound Guy Steen. But,
hello, Mike Guy.
He changed it when he went into show business.
Mike Guy Private Eye. That's not bad.
Anyway.
Mike, consider it, Mike.
Yeah, please do, Mike. So there, we'll have some new theme songs, hopefully. In the meantime, oh, maybe I can just speed up the ones we have. Just play them at double speed.
That's all that you need to do.
That solves the problem right there. Hey, let's talk about some movies.
Why don't we then?
Yeah. First up, we need to get this out of the way. You didn't see it.
I don't want to talk about Ice Age first. I want to talk about Star Trek first.
Oh, well, yeah, no, we can't because they didn't screen Star Trek.
It's the most surprising thing that's ever happened in my life, I think.
I'm sure that's not true.
That's probably not true. But
screened it in L.A. and New York, but not in other places.
So it isn't the whole Independence Day sequel. We're not as nervous. And I guess I'm personally not as nervous because two people that I follow on Twitter that are film critics that I like, that I'm friends with, seem to be fairly content, at least.
Yeah, the reviews are pretty positive for the most part.
This Star Trek review's a lot like a Star Trek movie, like, you know, that sort of thing. So it's like, all right, that's good. But then Paramount, were you just being cheap? Is that what was happening?
Maybe they're just being cheap. Maybe they were nervous it was going to get bad reviews, so they didn't plan screenings in other places, and then they were surprised by the good reviews. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they just realized that no place matters except L.A. and New York, which, a lot of people in L.A. or New York will tell you, is true.
They do feel that way.
Mm-hmm. New Yorkers especially. Always makes me mad when New York actually is the center of the world. like a couple times a year it actually is, and always makes me mad.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we can't talk about that because we didn't see it.
What do you want to talk about?
We're going to talk about Ice Age Collision Course.
All right, sir.
First of all, you didn't see this.
No. Do you want to ask me what number this is in the series of Ice Age movies?
Yeah, what number is this, do you think?
I don't know. I would have to say... I think this is... I feel oddly confident.
To be clear, when you said you want to ask me, you did not actually have an answer in mind.
No, five. It's number five.
It is actually number five.
Is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have reviews of the first three, so that's on the record. I can verify I saw those. The fourth one I did not see. That was Continental Drift, 2012.
Did you read up on it?
No, and so I was totally lost in this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I had no idea... what was going on here? No, that's not true. I knew what was going on, and it was all very stupid. And it's like a sitcom. These movies have always been kind of sitcom-y, like really kind of corny jokes. But they, in the past, the ones that I enjoyed, I enjoyed because they had some good visual gags, some good cartoony humor. Now, this time, it's all just sort of dumb. And here's what's happened. You've got the big elephant mammoth, the Manny the Mammoth, that's Ray Romano. And he's super mopey because his daughter is getting married soon.
What?
Yeah. He and his wife, Queen Latifah, have a daughter, Elephant, who's now getting married.
So they're just done with the idea that this has anything to do with environment and the changing of our...
No, well, hang on. Yes, but yes. he's mopey because she's getting married. You know, I'm losing a daughter, all that stuff. But also, he also forgot his own wedding anniversary. Can you believe it? So it's... It's totally a sitcom.
Oh, my God.
Right. Also, less importantly, there's a giant meteor heading for Earth that will kill them all. But the main thing is the daughter's getting married, and so Ray Romano and Queen Latifah conspire to, like, scare their daughter out of getting married
because
they're selfish and they're going to be sad when she moves away. It's really stupid. But so they gotta go. They need to stop this meteor from hitting the Earth. Buck the One-Eyed Weasel. He was in the one where they went underground with the dinosaurs. Remember that one?
No.
Well, that was the third one.
Okay. I don't think I saw that one either.
All right. Well, he's the voice of Simon Pegg, and he's a pirate or something. And he's like a private detective down in the dinosaur world. I was kind of confused about what his deal is.
What?
But so he has an idea. He thinks he knows of a way to divert the meteor's course. So all of our main characters, and you got the one that's John Leguizamo, Sid the Sloth.
Right.
You got him.
Diego.
Dennis Leary the Tiger. Yeah. He has a wife now who is Jennifer Lopez, who might have two lines in the movie. They keep adding characters in each movie who then they don't have anything to do with. But now it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. But so they're all on his journey to go and stop the meteor. And there's also like a dinosaur parrot, like a dinosaur bird. It's a real kind of dinosaur. I forget what it's called. But there's three of them. They're chasing after Buck. Just to add another element of conflict to the story.
You're losing me.
I know. You're losing me. I used to enjoy Scrat, that squirrel thing. He was the one that would do funny stuff, kind of almost like Looney Tunes.
Very much like Looney Tunes, yes.
This time, he's in space the whole time because he found an alien spaceship frozen in the ice.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so he's up around in space, ricocheting off planets, and I think he inadvertently caused the meteor shower that is now threatens Earth.
That makes sense.
That's how it works.
Sure.
But so he's kind of out there doing nothing, so he's a lost cause. And so it's just a bunch of, you know, perfunctory zingers and dumb sitcom one-liners
and Nick
extra
Offerman
characters.
And Sean William Scott. I'm looking at the – what? Greenfield?
Sean William Scott was always in it. He's one of the two possums that are friends with Queen Latifah, the lady elephant.
I kind of remember that, sure.
But then Nick Offerman is one of the dinosaur birds, and Max Greenfield is his son.
Jesse Tyler Ferguson?
Oh, yeah. He's a llama. He's a llama who they stumble across this area where the animals have not aged. They've been living in utopia for a couple hundred years and not getting older.
Okay. I don't think you've offered a lot of scientific facts here.
Well, here's a scientific fact. This movie is dumb and boring, and I hate it.
I like that.
I have no patience. Whatever goodwill I had left toward these movies has been exhausted by this very, very dismal, uninspired. They put no effort into it. You can picture them there just crapping it out. Just literally just and out comes the movie. Here, put it in the theaters, it'll make $300 million.
Ooh, what's the score?
C-.
You're ridiculous.
Finite.
I was just talking about this with our friend Brian.
Mm-hmm.
You will painfully talk about a movie, and you'd be like, man, it's okay, C-. It's only slightly below average. Your average movie would get a C, but this one, I hated it to death.
See,
so
but
it's
a C-. But I don't think C is average for movies.
But of course it is.
But it isn't. Anyway, don't see it. That's the point. Thumbs down. It's rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. That's the important part. Now, let's talk about a movie we both saw. It's called Lights Out.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it's a scary movie about a scary thing in the dark.
Yep. And it can only be in the dark.
It can only be in the dark. If it goes in the light, it disappears.
Yeah.
And at first, it seemed like it doesn't just disappear. Like, it ceases to exist, it seems like. Like, it's not like the light hurts it so it scampers away. It's more like the light turns on it and it instantly just is gone.
Right.
But then later it seems like maybe it is still there and they just can't see it.
Maybe. I think perhaps they had an idea.
Right.
And then they stopped.
It's based on a 3-minute short film.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I haven't seen. Have you seen?
No. I don't have that kind of time.
No, no, no. Maria Bello is this mom who had some sort of troubling past that we eventually learn in the movie.
She had some cuckoo times.
Sure. And she's got a little boy who's kind of freaked out because mom's talking to somebody at the house. Something bad just happened to dad. And now the 20-something daughter has come back in the mix. And it's like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember something going on with my childhood.
I remember mom used to be crazy. Yeah. I talked about this, her imaginary friend, Diana.
Yeah. It struck me as kind of just like this could be low budget entertainment fun. Some quality scares. Like they're trying to scare you without introducing really anything to the movie, which is fine because they do it somewhat effectively with this idea that, you know, this entity can only do something in the dark.
Right, and they get a certain amount of mileage out of we see the thing, and so we flip on the light so it goes away, then we flip the lights off again, and now it's back, but it's closer.
Mm-hmm.
They get some mileage out of that.
That's decent.
Good. Sure.
And Maria Bello, like, dropping lines like, oh, did we wake you, when it was just her? That's good and creepy when you're talking to a kid. Poor Maria Bello. Where is she? Oh, my goodness.
She's crazy mom now. Teresa Palmer plays the daughter. Teresa Palmer is the Kristen Stewart who can smile.
And she's also the queen of never being in a good movie. Like, I looked at her. Mm. It is It is a bad list of films that this lady has done so far in her life.
Triple Nine. Oh, The Choice. Yeah. Point Break. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Just Knight, keep going. Keep
Knight
going.
Of, Knight of Cups, which we didn't care for, but
right?
Which
it was
not an unrespectable.
Right.
And then it goes back. Well, then Warm Bodies was okay.
Yes, Warm Bodies was the highlight for her.
Yeah. Yeah, not a lot here. I Am Number Four, Bedtime Stories, Sorcerer's Apprentice. Yeah, no, she definitely has not done a lot of great things.
Right. So she should smile less.
Well,
anyway. So here, like,
it's a very small movie. It's got like, it really only has five characters, really just four. It's got the mom and the mom right. and the daughter and son, and then the boyfriend of the daughter. And
ugh,
the, and
this the, boyfriend. I got a feeling kind of we're not going to be hearing a lot from him in the future.
And then there's a social worker for a couple scenes. So it's a very small movie, yeah. Very small in scale, and it's a very small mythology they create with this mysterious Diana thing in the dark. And it's got a, you know, two or three slightly creative uses of light and
yes,
whatever.
Totally. And I mean, they're dipping into the bag. Like, they're bringing out a black light on occasion, a crank light on occasion, candles, like
iPhones, headlights.
Yes. They're mixing it all up. And that is kind of amusing.
And maybe,
I just wish they would have spent so much less time. It was such a basic attempt of Rebecca looking into her mom's past to figure out what was going on and what this evil was, as opposed to just like figuring out the rules of this thing and how to defeat it. Like, there could have been some creative fun with that, because it is at that minuscule line of like, yep, there's something there when the lights are out. What do you do? And they didn't spend enough time, like, really game planning, because at one point they were like, all right, let's hang out in this haunted house and we'll just we'll flip switches on
and then we'll
open windows for when the sun comes out. And it's like, that's not enough, people.
Because what if the monster can turn the lights out, which it can?
Apparently
yeah,
it can.
She gets all the backstory on the thing because her mom has got an evidence box full of files, actual psychiatrist's tape recordings, which how on earth did she get that? And she asked, she said to the daughter, she said, where'd you get that photo? Wasn't the photo tacked up on the wall in the study there in
yes.
the house?
Yeah. 100% yes.
Yeah, it was on your wall, Mom. That's where I got it.
Yeah, and the way that this, you know, this entity came to be is just like dumb. Like, it's just flat out dumb. And I understand horror movies, you got to have some leap of faith at some point. But you got to know when to underexplain
if
you don't have anything smart to say.
Well, you need to make some kind of effort to establish what's going on here. It all just seems very rushed and not all the way thought out. Maybe it's a metaphor for depression or abusive relationships or something.
Yes, I wrote both of those things down.
But not
and
very
I didn't.
Good at either one of them.
No, it definitely was not. It's you're not going to feel that you've healed in any sort of way if you've suffered from either of those two things, I can imagine.
No, it seemed like if another writer came along and like wrote another draft, because this is clearly the first draft.
Yes.
You could still hear the typos.
Mm-hmm.
but if they brought someone along to give another pass, it could be developed into maybe a fairly good horror movie. And as it is, I think it's well suited for like teenage girls at slumber parties. I think it's kind of who it's for.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not good, but I didn't particularly mind it. It's only 81 minutes, too.
It's 81 minutes. Again, whenever it's creepy or playing with that idea, I'm totally fine with this movie. And then they speak and try to explain, and it's just never good. I couldn't figure out how this thing gets around in the dark, and then what level of darkness it needs, because at one point – it seems like under the bed is just enough.
Yeah, yeah.
To which my thinking would be, well, I'm done with beds the rest of this movie. But this movie is not. Everybody's fine with just then climbing into a bed in the next scene.
Well, I think it's near the end of the movie that it first appears under the bed, isn't it?
Nope. It's at it's at the daughter's apartment.
Oh, that's right. It does, yeah.
And that's kind of in the middle, I guess. I guess that was 40 minutes. I don't know. It all went by so fast.
It does seem to be able to teleport from one space of darkness to another. I'm not really sure what the rules are, and I don't care. I give it a C.
I give it a 4 out of 10.
All right. Oh my goodness! You know what that is? You know what
that
means?
Is.
Oh
yes,
my
I do.
Goodness, Jeff Bayer! Congratulations. Everyone, what you just heard was the 1,000th movie review on Movie BS with Baron Snyder.
What?
Yeah, Lights Out was number 1,000th show.
It will always be remembered. There will always be a special place in our heart for Lights Out.
So we have 1,000 reviews now, and to celebrate that, we have them all in a database. All on moviebs.com. You can go there and you can search at a glance. You can, like, if you're wondering, hey, what did Jeff and Eric think of this movie? You can look it up and find it there.
Boom.
You can see at a glance how many BS approved there are.
So easy.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you some facts and figures here. First of all, I should say, this is 1,000 movies that have been reviewed on the show, not that we both reviewed.
I understand.
1,000 movies that one or the other of us reviewed. The number, let's see, there's 107 that you reviewed, but I didn't. And 105 now that I reviewed, but you didn't.
I'm winning?
Yes. Yeah, by two.
Oh, nice.
So that's 788 films that we both reviewed. Of those, how many BS approved do you think there are? Out of that 788, how many BS approved?
75.
No, more than that. I'll tell you how many.
141. 141? Really?
Which is 18%.
That actually seems high. That shows, I think, that we agree a lot, which we end up realizing we do for different reasons, but yeah. We agree a lot.
It would be nice if we were recommending more than one in every five movies. And of course, there's plenty that we give like a 7 and a B to that
right,
are still recommended,
right.
But not highly recommended.
Or I'm giving a 9 and you're giving a...
And I didn't, yeah.
B and ruining the whole thing, or I didn't review it, you did. All
right.
That sort of
yeah,
stuff.
There's potentially more that would have been BS approved if the one of us who didn't see it had seen it.
Ooh, I have a fun little thing.
Yeah.
If a listener wants to have a little competition, we could even put it up. How many, like what listener has seen the most of our BS recommended?
There you go. Yeah, you can look at the list of BS approved, tell us how many of them you've seen. If you think you've seen more than other people.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's all. And we need to thank our friend and listener, Mark from Winnipeg, who helped us go through and compile the database. Because here's the thing. For the first few years we did the show, we didn't really keep track of anything.
We didn't know what we were doing.
We didn't keep track of what we didn't keep a database of what scores we were given the movies.
Right.
And so when it came time to do this, we had to like go back and listen to those parts of the show to get the scores. Just tedious. Because nobody wants to hear us.
I don't want to hear us.
No. And you didn't help at all. But so I put
That's
out
not
a call.
True. I think I did like four.
Okay. I put out a call for volunteers, and Mark from Winnipeg helped out tremendously, did a tremendous amount of work on getting this compiled.
Dominated.
So, thank you, Mark from Winnipeg. Two other people also volunteered to help and then didn't. But I understand best of intentions. I think one of them might have done a couple of movies and then probably turned out to be more of a tedious undertaking than I think they realize is what it was. So we're not insulted. No offense taken.
No.
Thank you for offering to help. But Mark, thank you for actually helping. Mark has, we're going to put a link to it. It's the lifeyoucansave.org, and it's about altruism and helping and charity and stuff. So that's the good cause that Mark from Winnipeg would like us to endorse on his behalf. Together we can end poverty, it says. All right. Can we start with me? I kid. So there's the database now, moviebs.com. You can go and sort and look and check and see at a glance. See, this is the best. This is ideal because they can see what we thought of movies without having to listen to us talk about them.
Yeah, it's practically like we don't have to do the show anymore.
We should just do this from now on. Just post the new grades and scores. Just leave it at that. Anyway, so 1,000 reviews. Woohoo!
Yay!
And now let's review our 1,001st.
I don't want to.
Well, you don't have to because you didn't see it.
Sweet.
This is absolutely fabulous, the movie. That's their description of it. That's not like my judgment of it. Actually, the title is absolutely fabulous in the movie. This show, it's one of them British sitcoms from the 90s. It was on Comedy Central all the time, is how I knew it.
I was always aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I gave it a few minutes here and there, and it never once made me think I needed to watch more.
Here was my problem with it. I would see a few minutes of it here and there while waiting for another Comedy Central show to start or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And often I couldn't make out some of the words because of the thick accents. Or I could make it out, but I didn't get the reference because it was very specific to British culture and British fashion and stuff. Also, it's one of those shows that has a laugh track but was not filmed in front of an audience. So the actors don't pause for laughter. So they're frequently talking over the laughs, which makes it even harder to know what's going on. So, yeah, I never watched a whole episode. I never got into it. But I've seen the whole movie now.
And?
It's not very good. It's after I saw it, I went back and watched a couple full episodes. They're all on Hulu.
Wow, you really went for it here.
Well, because I wanted to see if the movie was a good representation of the show. I wanted to try to get a sense of would people who liked the show like the movie. And I thought, you know, a lot of people liked the show. Maybe I just never really gave it a chance. And the two episodes I watched were funny-ish. I mean, they were all right. And the movie is set later. Time has passed, so they are age-appropriate. And it's, Adina. Adina and what's the other one's name?
No, I do not know.
I know. Patsy. Adina and Patsy. And they're still drunks who take a lot of pills and stuff. Very irresponsible. Living off of Adina's daughter or off of her efforts. And then they accidentally kill Kate Moss. Or they think that they have. They knock her off a balcony at a fashion show party. and that stuff is funny. Like Britain's reaction. Like, devastated. It's like Princess Diana died. Like, the reaction to Kate Moss being presumed dead. And so Patsy and Adina are pariahs, and they kind of flee the country. Patsy...
Oh, people know that they did it.
Yeah, it's known who... Yeah.
Okay.
Patsy, who's, like, the more promiscuous, more rambunctious of the two, she hits on a plan to marry an old billionaire, because they're out of money is the other thing. But the old billionaire is a woman, so Patsy decides to dress up as a man. It keeps being very silly and very farcical, which is fine, but not quite with the energy that a farce needs. And I don't know what it needed other than to just be a little funnier. I laughed here and there, a few chuckles.
In looking uproarious. At the list of people that are in it, it is an insane amount of people.
A lot of people in this movie, yeah. John Hamm's in there for a minute.
Yeah. Is it okay? Rebel Wilson for a minute. It's one of those.
Yeah, she's a flight attendant. She's got a scene.
Joan Collins
doesn't even talk. Just a brief appearance cameo.
What about Graham Norton?
He's got a couple of lines.
Okay.
All just cameos.
Everybody's okay.
Yeah, and it's I feel like it's not a bad movie. I think I would have enjoyed it more first if I were more attached to these characters. Also, if I knew more about British fashion and fashion. Icons over there. There were several times that I knew they were talking about a real person who I just don't know who that is.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think people who liked the show will probably not be disappointed by it. I doubt they'll love it, but I think they'll probably feel like it's okay-ish. And I give it a C.
All right.
The long-awaited, absolutely fabulous, the movie. And those are all the movies. By the way, I'll have a review of Star Trek Beyond at ericdslater.com. Sometime over the weekend.
Okay, thank you.
If people want to go and read that. And maybe we'll talk about it on the show next week, maybe.
What do you mean maybe? Why wouldn't we?
I don't know. If we don't feel like it or if we forget.
I'm going to feel like it because I really want to see it.
All right.
I really like Star Trek.
Me too.
Like, 2009 Star Trek was one of my favorites. Loved that thing. So
that was my top 10 for that year, I think. And I liked the second one, which a lot of the Star Trek nerds didn't like. But I liked it. Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a Star Trek nerd, but it wore on me. It did felt very manipulative.
But yeah, so there's another one, and we'll talk about it next week. Maybe. They clearly don't want us to talk about it.
But we're going to.
Well, now it's time for question of the week.
The question of the week.
In honor of that Star Trek thing, I guess, well, we're putting together a Mount Rushmore of science fiction films.
Yes, we are.
And you all voted. We asked you to send us your four favorite sci-fi films, unranked. And now we just tallied them up. You've tallied them up, Jeff Baer, correct?
I have. Yes, I've tallied them up. We're ready to talk about it.
Okay.
Let's go to some broad strokes first, perhaps, because there's a lot of interesting things here.
Okay.
There's a few movies that I haven't seen that I would also assume you haven't seen. I assume you've never
How
seen
dare you?
Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, no, I haven't. That's an anime thing.
That's an anime thing, but isn't that also the thing that...
It'll make us cry? No, that's Grave of the Fireflies.
No, but we do have to watch that soon.
Yeah.
No, the isn't it becoming a live-action film starring Scarlett Johansson?
Oh, maybe.
That sounds isn't that the thing that is? I think it is.
That sounds like something that would happen.
Some of the newer movies of recent years that got votes, Snowpiercer, Looper, Ex Machina, that was nice to see. Under the Skin, which I think that must have been a write-in from you, which you're not allowed to do this, but whatever.
Yeah, you presume a lot if you think that I actually came up with my four favorite sci-fi films.
Logan's Run, Escape from New York, War Games, that was nice to see some nods to those classics.
I don't think War Games is a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of computers, kind of.
But there was a few iffy ones, actually, that people decided, and it was, yeah, I just kind of went with it. Like, Jurassic Park is sci-fi?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's, they make a point of talking about the science involved, and it is fiction. I believe that is the definition of science fiction, I guess, yeah.
RoboCop only got one vote.
How many different movies were mentioned, approximately? I'm not asking you to actually do something
I'd say 65 movies.
All right.
Which actually, like, compared to our sports and other things, I think that was slightly low, but I think that's also because the good ones got a lot of votes.
Right.
So that was kind of when the key difference is. So we're gonna change it up a little bit here.
Usually I just guess.
We're gonna do a little versus. We're gonna see what you know. These may or may not be connected to the top eight, which we normally, like, do some sort of stupid baseball bowling thing or whatever, and you get weird points.
It never makes any sense to me.
Never makes any sense to me either. All right, what do you think of the Star Trek films got more votes? The Wrath of Khan, Star Trek 2009, or Star Trek First Contact?
I would say of those, the one that got more votes would be Wrath of Khan.
No, they all got the same. Barely any.
Really?
All got one apiece. Star Trek was, in fact, barely mentioned on this list. And
interesting.
It was,
all right.
I didn't know how I felt about that. I think this is 80s, so I'm going to go this is a – and it was – I want to say this is the same weekend or at least the same summer. The Thing versus E.T.
You know there are ways of looking these things up, right?
No clue. Anyway, I'm old. I wish I was old school. I think maybe 60% of me is old school, or like at least 51. Whatever that number is that makes me think, I know I could look that up, but I'm not going to.
So by old school, you mean lazy?
Yeah.
Okay.
But isn't it the same weekend? I'm pretty sure
the
that
thing
I remember
and E.T.?
Either that or it's like weeks apart and E.T. did amazing and people were like, well, that's why The Thing didn't do well. But anyway, of those two, which one got more votes?
Let's see, of The Thing and E.T., E.T. has to have gotten more votes.
You are correct, but was close.
E.T. opened June 11th, 1982, and The Thing opened on June 25th.
Ah.
So a couple weeks apart, but yes.
All right, Jim Carrey films, The Truman Show, it's sci-fi, I guess.
Yeah, all right.
Versus Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yes.
Good.
Tom Cruise films.
Uh-huh.
Minority Report versus Edge of Tomorrow.
I'm going to say Minority Report got more.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Avatar versus The Last Starfighter.
The Last Starfighter.
It was a tie. They each got one single vote.
Well, I was going to say, I can't imagine many people saying Avatar. So that
You know what else only got one single vote, which... This is I for diehards, they know I've said this before. Gravity only got one vote.
Yeah.
To me, Gravity is a movie that is accidentally being forgotten for that like amazing cinematic experience, and it really should find its way back into theaters every like so often, every 3 years, 5 years, just on IMAX screens so people can feel that again.
Yeah.
All right. Return of the Jedi versus The Force Awakens.
Jedi.
Yes. Ghostbusters, 84, versus Galaxy Quest.
See, that seemed like a trick question because the obvious answer is more people would have said Ghostbusters, but I wonder if people would have forgotten to include Ghostbusters in a sci-fi thing, whereas Galaxy Quest is sort of very specifically a Star Trek parody. And still, I'm going to go with my gut and say more people said Ghostbusters.
Galaxy Quest, oh, you're on the right track. Galaxy Quest tied all of the Star Treks combined for votes,
wow.
I believe.
Well, I know which one I've seen more often.
A couple of old ones. One extraordinarily old, and one just old enough that I'd never heard of it, and I'm curious if you have. We have Stalker from 1979.
Oh.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
Enough votes came in for this movie that I'm intrigued now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is well regarded.
Comparing it with Metropolis.
Oh, Metropolis. I have seen that. I wonder which one got more. Oh, I'm supposed to guess, not just wonder. Stalker.
No.
Metropolis.
Right. Good job, people, voting for a really, really, really old movie that you weren't alive to see. Okay, so here we go. Maybe those movies are included, maybe they aren't. What do you got for some guesses here?
All right, I'm going to say that in the top four, there's got to be Blade Runner.
No, but it's top eight.
Okay. Then 2001 Space Odyssey.
No, but it's top eight. That'd be so awesome if you just nailed five through eight, the second four. It's a good second four. Like, it is a really good second four.
Is E.T. on there?
No.
Alien, the first Alien.
You have now gotten numbers 5, 6, and 7.
Ugh.
Eric, without saying one of the top four, can you say what got eighth? I don't want to give you a clue. I want to give you a clue, but I'm not giving you a clue.
Back to the Future.
Oh. No, Back to the Future was close to the top eight, but Inception snuck in there in the top eight. 5, 6, 7, 8. You have not named one of the top four science fiction films of all time.
Well, tell me this. Is one of the four a movie that you've previously mentioned?
No.
All right. So none of the ones you said before that I was guessing on, none of those are in the top four?
None of them are in the top four.
All right. Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I'm looking for science fiction films.
Yeah. All right. Tell me what decades.
70s and 80s and aughts. No, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, that could even be a tip of the hat.
70s and 90s. How about AI?
No.
What do you mean?
Even mentioned.
Say it like that. It's a good movie. People like that movie.
Yeah, people do like it.
Terminator 2.
No. I think it was like probably in the top 15, though. Phew. What is going on?
I don't know.
Right now?
There's apparently too many sci-fi movies that people like. Groundhog Day. Are we counting that?
Yeah, that was number one.
Was it really?
No.
Could be.
It wasn't mentioned.
Brazil.
No, it wasn't mentioned.
So now I'm looking at a list of
you.
Top sci-fi movies, like to stoke my memory.
I don't feel like I cheated you here. I don't feel like I led you astray. But you're forgetting two really obvious choices.
Oh, the first Star Wars, then.
Yes, that would be in third place.
Okay. That's right, because you mentioned Return of the Jedi before, but not... Yeah. How many of them are body-swapping movies? How many body swap comedies made it on the list? Like 17 again, or
vice versa?
Vice versa, or even Freaky Friday.
Or 13 going on 30? No, that doesn't really count. What's the one with Kirk Cameron, and Dudley Moore?
Yeah, just tell me what they are. I don't know.
Okay. Empire Strikes Back.
Like Father, Like Son. That's what
like
it was
Father,
called.
Yeah.
Oh, Empire Strikes Back. All right.
Yeah, that was number one.
Okay.
Number two, Aliens.
Ah, Aliens. Uh-huh.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Tied for first. I apologize for this. Tied for first was The Matrix.
Oh, The Matrix. Oh, yeah, The Matrix.
99.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Not the odds. So, yeah, Matrix and Empire Strikes Back, tied for first.
Okay.
Then Aliens, then Star Wars, A New Hope. episode 4, whatever you want to call it, Star Wars.
Okay. All right.
And then again, just so we understand each other here, 5 through 8, we got Alien, 2001, Blade Runner, and Inception.
Okay.
With Close Encounters just missing out.
Just close. It had a close encounter with the top 8. So again, the top 4 then were Empire Strikes Back, The Matrix, Aliens, and Star Wars.
Yes. And okay. And we'll ask someone to do a lovely job photoshopping for us so we can put that up.
Good. Thanks for your help, everybody. Nice job. Nice work, everyone.
Nice work, everyone.
Good game.
I love the
good
Mount
game.
Rushmores. Love the Mount Rushmores.
I know you do. I know you do, but what am I?
Hey, Eric, what's the question of the week for next week?
Hey, well, for next week, there's this movie called Bad Moms coming out. And it's about bad moms, I guess. And it's like women, like moms out there, like partying and stuff.
Oh, and that sounds so bad.
Reminds me of, like, we had Bad Santa. We had Bad Teacher.
So many bad things.
And some other things, I think.
Well, maybe not enough.
Maybe not enough. So tell us, what other group or type of person or something should they make a movie about the bad ones of? Like make a raunchy R-rated comedy about bad, you know, whatevers.
I'm going to take a guess here and say at the end of Bad Moms, there will be the tease of the potential of a spin-off sequel called Bad Dads. I have no idea. Haven't seen the movie. Don't even know. I mean, yeah, I'm assuming it's mainly women doing bad things. Mm-hmm. But my guess is that's what they'll do at the end. They'll decide that there's that possibility.
Maybe.
We'll see if I'm right. I don't know.
I did notice that the trolls on IMDb, the thing they are most concerned about with Bad Moms is how it is going to depict dads, how dads will be depicted in this movie.
There was a second of thought that I gave this when I closed my eyes and listened to the trailer when we were in the theater. And, you know, because I'm a stay-at-home, work-at-home dad. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I don't care because one movie can't possibly define everything.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. Yeah,
it was just the end of it. I was just like, oh man, why are they going to do the stereotypical thing? I hope it. And I was like, what am I doing? I don't care.
You don't care. Yeah,
I just want to be entertained.
All right. So that's question of the week for next week. Tell us who they should make a bad movie about the bad one of. I'll phrase it better than that when I type it on the thing.
Well,
probably. You can email us at moviebspdx@gmail.com. Or put it on Facebook. Or send us a tweet. You can tweet at us, MovieBS. Do whatever you want.
Just, yeah.
The world's your oyster.
Get off our back about it, and you just take care of it. You can do it.
All right. Officially, to keep our license, we have to mention the Summer Box Office Challenge. I had Ghostbusters. It made $45 million or something. Star Trek Beyond is my last one. And then once that is done, then we'll know how much money your three or four remaining films have to make.
Yeah.
If I forget how many that is that you have left. You've got you have four left. Suicide Squad, Jason Bourne, Ice Age, Cliffhanger, of course. Oh, you'll have one this weekend. And then Pete's Dragon.
All right.
After this weekend, you'll have three left, and we'll know exactly how much money those three have to make. Other than that, Star Trek Beyond, we don't know. They didn't show it. Ice Age, Collision Course, bad. Lights Out?
Not good.
Not good, but not bad. Not especially
bad. Well, but like it's not theater worthy. Nobody should do that.
No. Like I said, it's like for teenage girls and slumber parties.
Eric will be there. Teenage girls, slumber parties. Just ask him.
Just be out there creeping outside the window.
Holding a copy of Lights Out. He'll
like
be ready
always.
For you.
Yep. I also only appear in the darkness. You turn on the lights and I disappear. I scamper away.
Oh, if only that was the case.
And what else did we talk about? Oh, Absolutely Fabulous. The movie is not very good, but it's, you know, whatever. And question of the week. Tell us, in honor, in the spirit of bad moms and bad Santa and bad teacher, what's another bad thing they should make into a movie?
Yeah. You can cast it. You can give it a couple of
thoughts. Oh, yeah. Yeah, give us.
Do what you will.
Don't just be like, oh, bad cops. But, like, tell us, like, what do the bad cops do or whatever. So now that's it. We've reviewed 1,001 movies.
Feels good.
That's a good round number, 1,001. That's a nice ring to it.
Are we done?
We should quit. That's it.
Okay.
We said at the beginning, once we've done 319 shows or 1,001 reviews, That's it. All right. So until next week, for Movie BS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I'm Jeff Bear.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
I said good day.